Seattle's Morning News. This is Dave Ross with Colleen O'Brien and Chris Sullivan. The momentum is clearly in favor of opening the country back up, which means that a lot of us will have a decision to make. Do we go back to work or not? And how do you gauge whether it's safe? Let's consult with the doctor.
Paging Dr. Cohen.
Dr. Gordon Cohen, MD. So, most of us not being experts, how can we tell whether our own particular company has taken measures sufficient to keep us safe?
I think it's complicated. I think that as individuals, we still need to do the things that we have been trying to do for the past few months, right? We need to continue to practice good hygiene. And we really need to avoid touching frequently used items or services. But if we do, we need to be absolutely certain that's when we wash our hands or have hand sanitizer out.
Let's talk about the thing we touch, everybody touches, the keyboard at the office. So do you go in and wipe it down every morning or wipe it down several times a day? Does that make you look like you're way too fussy? I mean, what would be the protocol there?
No, I actually think you do. I think you do wipe it down. I think that you can't be too cautious. Obviously, there's lots of information being spread around these days about this is all a big hoax, but it's not a big hoax. If you talk to the doctors that are actually on the front line or the nurses who are on the front line and see what they're actually dealing with, it's devastating. Now, the problem is it hasn't been the same from in every location across the United States. And so people who aren't seeing it as bad are saying one thing, whereas people who are seeing it in the worst case scenario, like in New York, for example, are saying something totally different. So I think you can never be too safe is the bottom line. Yeah, I think you do wipe down the keyboard. I think you do wash your hands every chance you get. I think you really have to be cognizant about not touching your face. And I really think that wearing masks is just a simple thing for us to do. But it only really works if everybody's doing it. If, you know, only half the people are doing it, then I don't know how much good it's actually doing. Many people, 50% of people aren't even symptomatic. So they wouldn't even know that they could be potentially infecting somebody else. And it works if everybody does it. There was a statistic that was released this past week in Washington State that for all the testing they've done so far, only 6.8% of people have tested positive as having been exposed to the disease. Well, that means that basically 93% of the state of Washington hasn't been exposed to the virus. So that still leaves a tremendous amount of room for people to get sick and to have a surge and to really create big problems for the state economy. So I just don't think we can be too careful right now.
You've often said that the solution to pollution is dilution, so that it's it's much safer outdoors than indoors. So let's talk about people who do work outdoors. If you work outdoors and there's always obviously air circulation happening, do you need to wear a mask?
Well, I think it depends on what the circumstance is and how close you come to others. So I do believe that there's a difference between being outdoor with, you know, good air movement versus being indoors with more stagnant air movement. And like you said, the solution to pollution is dilution. You are diluting things more in the outdoor environment than you are indoors. And, you know, if you think about the type of work that people typically do outdoors, it's either construction or, you know, landscaping or gardening or, you know, those types of things. Even, you know, guys who are delivering for Amazon and UPS and FedEx, a good portion of their job is being done outdoors. You know, it's still useful to wear a mask because you're coming in contact with other people. You know, you just can't be too careful. But if you're asking, you know, is there a greater risk being outdoors than indoors, intuitively or teleologically, you would suspect that it's more easy to get infected inside rather than outside.
In all the big events that have been researched where the disease was spread by one or two people to a crowd, all happened indoors in nightclubs and that choir practice in the call center. So if you're working, if you're now returning to an office, would the building have to be retrofitted with a better filtration system? Do those things help, or is it simply a matter of making the fans turn faster and circulating the air more frequently?
Well, I think they do help. Any filtration system is going to be better than no filtration system. But that's the most likely place you're going to get infected is really from a surface. How often over the course of your entire life, if you think about it, have you ever really had somebody directly sneeze in your face or directly cough in your face? I mean, it just doesn't even happen that often. And even as a doctor taking care of sick patients, it doesn't really happen that often. I'm not saying it doesn't happen, but it doesn't happen very frequently. So the average person isn't going to run into that. What's more likely is something like a keyboard that somebody who's infected coughs or sneezes on or near a keyboard or on their hands and then touches a keyboard. And then you use the keyboard and you bring your hands to your face and you infect yourself that way. I think that's the more likely way that somebody's going to get infected in an office space.
So it sounds like if you're working indoors, masks for everyone, wiping down the common surfaces, including the keyboard, and staying home if you're sick.
The other thing that I think strikes me, and I haven't heard much discussion about this, but I really feel like all food workers, frankly, should be required to wear masks. First of all, we've already had problems historically with other viruses like norovirus, which is very contagious. It causes sort of self-limited but pretty significant vomiting and diarrhea. So we get outbreaks like that from oftentimes from food workers or from buffets where people have it and go into those sort of areas. So I think that food workers should be required to wear it. Like we've talked about before, we ask people to wear hairnets, but a hair getting in your food may gross you out, but it's not going to kill you. But yet we allow people to breathe directly on our food.
So is it your sense that the worst is past?
I think we don't know. I mean, I sort of find that number of 6.8% of people who've been exposed to the virus in Washington State a little bit concerning, because we did have a bit of a surge in Washington and we had a lot of deaths, and yet we still have 93% of the population that hasn't been exposed at all. In order to achieve herd immunity, we have to have 70% of people who have been exposed and developed the antibodies. So we're nowhere close to that. And it is concerning. And it's concerning because we don't have a good treatment. We don't have a vaccine to help us achieve herd immunity. I still think it puts a lot of people at risk. But I actually think the approach in Washington State has been pretty sensible compared to a lot of other states. But I do think that it has to be done thoughtfully, and I think we have to be prepared on literally a moment's notice to pull back to some degree. And again, I don't even know what that means when I say it, but it may be that we have to limit some things, but not everything. It's a really challenging situation.
Dr. Gordon Cohen, MD. Dr. Cohen, thank you very much.
Thanks, Dave.